Housing for the Aged Action Group, HAGE for short, a housing group for older people run by older people. Present
Raise the Roof!
We advocate for secure, affordable and appropriate housing. So listen up on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30pm on 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
That's right, you're listening to Raise the Roof, the Housing for the Aged Action Group show here on 3CR 855am. My name's Shane, I'm here with Fiona. How are you doing today, Fiona?
I'm really good, Shane. How are you?
Doing okay.
That's good.
How about we start with you telling the listeners where you were last week?
I was at the National Housing Conference in Western Australia last week. It is a conference that happens every 2 years. It's put on by AHURI, which is the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute. And it's a 3-day conference that brings together a whole bunch of researchers and other people that are interested in housing and the housing crisis.
And what were you doing there?
We were on a panel that was speaking.
Is that the Royal We?
The Royal We. Well, it was myself and our member, Wendy, who you'll be hearing from shortly, and also our other Wendy, Wendy Stone, who is a researcher at Swinburne University. There was Amity James, who is also, we're going to be interviewing shortly as well, and someone from YWCA, and we're talking about gender responsive housing.
Well, do you want to tell us more about what gender responsive housing mean, or shall we just go to the clip?
I reckon we just hear from Wendy Morris first, and then we can talk a little bit more with Amity about what the panel was about.
Sounds great.
All right. I'm with Wendy Morris at the National Housing Conference, which is in Western Australia in Perth. How are you going today, Wendy?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
I was wondering if you could tell us about how you first got involved with Housing for the Aged Action Group.
Well, I first got involved when I went along to a tenancy conference. It was quite a few years ago now, probably 5 or 6, might be even longer. And I offered to go onto a committee to look into the tenancy legislation in WA. The government was considering upgrading it from the 1980s, I think it was, the last time it was looked at, and giving feedback to government. And that's when I just did a bit of a look around on the internet to see if there was anything else similar, a similar organisation in Australia, particularly looking at older folks and housing insecurity. And that's when I came across HAGE and the Ageing on the Edge project that was going on at the time.
So tell us about that. How did you get involved with the Ageing on the Edge project, which was Jeff Fiedler's project at the time?
That's right. Well, I contacted HAGE and I think I spoke directly with Jeff. I can't remember at first, but he was about to come over to Western Australia. It was probably a month or so before he was to journey over to WA to establish a group of stakeholders in the affordable housing sector and to discuss what it was like to age in Australia with limited assets, that sort of thing. Mm. So I volunteered to go on the Ageing on the Edge committee.
Yeah, and then a report was released on WA's, the housing circumstances for older people in WA, and then eventually we formed, it was actually called NOPN to start with, the National Older Persons Housing Network, and then we changed the name to NASH, the National Alliance of Seniors for Housing, and you were involved in that as well. Can you tell me about, you still are involved in that, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, I like the name NASH a little bit better than the other one. I found out about NASH not long after the Ageing on the Edge project finished, and I thought I'd like to continue my involvement because, at that stage I was living in insecure housing. I was still working full-time but I was looking to the future and I was concerned about what I'd heard through housing on for the Aged Action Group and what I'd heard by looking at the statistics and the results that we got for Ageing on the Edge. It seemed to me that work still needed to be done.
Yeah. So you still regularly meet as part of NASH online mainly, and you're our main person in WA these days.
Yes. There's one other lady that I was involved with in a housing project. Jo comes along from time to time. And we keep in contact, but yes, I seem to be the only one in WA at this point.
We'll have to recruit some more people for you.
Definitely.
So we're at the National Housing Conference and you and I were just on a panel which just finished up called Gender Responsive Housing Solutions. How did you find being on the panel?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting prior to the panel getting my story together again, and being my age of 78, my housing story over 30 years is quite lengthy. So I had the challenge of trying to shrink it to make it a little more tight, I guess, and easier to explain to people. But I did find it very helpful to. To put my housing story together in that way, and I did enjoy being able to have an audience, so that particularly with people who are interested in the housing issues that we face in Australia, it was good to have a captive audience, if you like. Mm. But I also enjoyed very much the camaraderie and the interesting panelists. I learned a lot from through the research that they've been involved with as well. I was very grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah. So we had Kate Whittle from the YWCA Australia. We had Wendy Stone from Swinburne University, and you, Wendy Morris, and myself. And it was chaired by Amity, who is a researcher from Curtin University. And I believe you've had a little bit to do with Amity in the past as well, yeah?
Yes, that was through the Ageing on the Edge committee. I met Amity. I'm pretty sure that's where it was. Mm. We've bumped into each other from time to time. I just remember vaguely at the very beginning of COVID, before everything went awry with COVID, but we saw each other again. But it was great to catch up with Amity and find out what she's doing. And I now find myself living quite close to Curtin University, where she works. So we'll probably keep in contact as well.
Yeah. So how are you finding the conference so far?
Yeah, it's very very inspiring to be with a big bunch of people who are all interested in what is commonly called the housing crisis across Australia. I went to a session this morning on Aboriginal people, First Nations people, and yeah, it really hit home to me how important it is from a justice point of view to ensure that our First Nations people are dealt with in terms of their housing in a way that is just and fair. And I was inspired in admiration of the people who are doing their best to help that come about. Having a chance to catch up with a few people I met in Canberra when I went across with Hard to Canberra, catching up with people who I'd met over there too. So yeah, great networking opportunity as well.
Yeah, for sure. And so you were mentioning before about, I guess, when you've been telling people about coming to a housing conference, there's a bit of cynicism around it. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I just remember someone who was quite close to me saying, another talk fest. You know, you're just, you know, rolling your eyes and just sort of shrugging your shoulders, basically. And I just thought, well, yeah, but we have to talk. We have to talk, and we have to listen as well. And the listening part for me was really important, because it inspired me by how can I describe it? It just was wonderful to hear of the research and the analysing of the research by academics especially, but also hearing other lived experience people talk about their housing issues as well. So, yeah, I think it's a good move to have a conference. I think it's biennial. I think it's every couple of years, if I remember. And it's great for people to get together to be inspired and energised to keep moving forward and achieving change.
And so how important is it, do you think, for people that have experienced the housing crisis to come to conferences like this?
Yeah, well, as I said, I think it's good to connect with others, to feel that you're not alone, and if you're called to work in the field or to work in the sector, that it encourages you to keep going, and it gives you confidence too that you've got information that is credible and valid, and particularly if you intend on speaking to local councillors, to speaking to MPs and so on, you've got information and facts that you can present to people who couldn't possibly bring about change.
That's right. So is there anything that you're looking forward to over the next couple of days at the conference?
I suppose more of the same in a sense, learning more, and also hopefully just inspiring others by talking with them as well. So, you know, I've probably got a bit to offer in terms of information about lived experience information. So I'm looking forward to just hearing more speakers talk about their research, and also to be encouraged by what they are doing and learning all the time, always learning.
And you do have a housing history that really hits a lot of the kind of points that we make a lot, in terms of, I guess, you know, what it's like being in insecure housing and living in a residential park and living in a co-op and now living in a retirement house, and living in private rental. You've just about tried every housing tenure.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but you've summarised that beautifully, Fiona. You really have. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way, but yeah, the housing cooperative and movement seems to be gaining momentum across Australia at the moment, and I'm happy to see that, actually, because I think it's a very valuable alternative to public housing and private rental, of course. So there's a fair bit of experience. I hadn't thought about it that way, but yeah.
You're a wealth of experience.
I get to my age, I guess, you know.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Wendy, for taking the time, and hopefully we'll be able to get a recording of the panel we were on, and we can actually, everyone can hear how it went. So, thanks so much.
Good one.
Thank you.
Okay.
That was Wendy Morris talking to Fiona around the National Housing Conference in WA last week. And we're going to hear a couple of community service announcements and then come back and talk some more about the conference.
Consumer law touches on many aspects of what we do every day. Consumer Action Law Centre has lawyers, financial counsellors and policy experts who specialise in issues such as unfair contract terms and deceptive or dodgy business practices like excessive pricing or irresponsible lending. Consumer Action Law Centre provides free legal information and advice and pursues litigation on behalf of consumers experiencing disadvantage across Victoria. Consumer Action Law Centre currently focuses on getting justice for people who have been sold lemon cars, ripped off by insurance companies, scammed and denied help from their bank, or refused hardship concessions from telecommunications and energy companies. Find out how Consumer Action Law Centre can help you at consumeraction.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
City Limits. Brought to us by the People's Committee for Melbourne every Wednesday at 9 a.m.
City Limits is Melbourne's only hour devoted to our urban environment.
To transport and planning and housing issues.
To privatisations and our utility services.
To building and or maintaining a sense of community. 855 on the AM band, if we can hear it through the noise and find it through the smog.
City Limits.
We're joined by Amity James, who is an associate professor at Curtin University in Western Australia. How are you going today, Amity?
I'm well, thanks, Fiona.
So could you tell us a little bit about what you do over there in Curtin University?
I am a researcher here at Curtin. I sit in the School of Accounting, Economics and Finance, but I'm a housing researcher who focuses on qualitative research methods, and I principally work to understand how or what people need from their housing and what people want from their housing. Over the last probably 10 years or so, I've had a real focus on what older people want from their housing. So that's people 65 years and over. I've looked at their residential mobility decisions. I've looked at their housing aspirations. I've also looked at the housing aspirations of people who are currently living in precarious housing, and also downsizing decisions as well.
Wow, it sounds like you've got so much experience that aligns with what we do here at HAG, so it's really great to chat to you today. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the panel that you hosted at the National Housing Conference last week.
Sure. So I was asked or invited to facilitate the session, which was titled Towards Gender Responsive Housing, Evidence, Practice and Lived Experience. And it was a really exciting panel that we were on. The session was underpinned by the idea that housing opportunities are gendered. And we already know, we've got very sound evidence that housing pathways and assistance are gendered. And also we're in a time where our understanding of gender is actually evolving. And so what was really interesting about this panel, I thought, was that we had researchers, practitioners, and those with lived experience all coming together to tell their stories. And I think that's what made the panel so rich. It started with Wendy Stone drawing on some of the work that had been funded by Uhuri. And the research that she was referring to is Gendered Housing Matters, Towards Gender-Responsive Data and Policy Making. And it was really important to start the session at that point to explain why gender actually matters. Because here in Australia, housing policy is gender neutral. And what the panel started by, in that front piece, what we were talking about was that to improve housing experiences, we actually need data to be able to engage with gender in housing policy research. So we really need to understand and have data collected on gender so that we can do the analysis to actually make housing policy respond to those gendered needs. Then I think perhaps one of the pinnacles of our panel was that we heard from Wendy Morris. And she shared with us her lived experience of precarious housing, her role as a mother, escaping a situation of coercive control, and then eventually through a series of less secure housing scenarios, finding secure housing in her retirement. And Wendy's story brought a real richness to our panel. And that richness is something that comes from hearing a story from somebody's own words, someone's own story from their own words. We were absolutely delighted to have Wendy be part of this panel and to be able to share her story with us. Then the panel moved into looking at what is happening in practice, what programs are out there, what are different organisations doing to respond to these gendered impacts of housing opportunities and how it plays out in terms of housing precariousness. And so we had from different I guess, ends of the life course, you could say, that looking at that intersectionality or that life course journey of precarious housing. We had Kate Witten from YWCA, and she spoke of the need to balance scale and impact in the context of assisting younger women and their housing security. So she was speaking about the idea of being able to design programs that provide for safety and stability and well-being, but also ensuring that the programs delivered long-term housing solutions. So the idea that we're not just interested in the number of dwellings, but actually the quality of the outcomes as well.
Mm.
And then Fiona, yourself, you were on our panel as well, and you spoke about the importance of tailoring a service that meets the needs of older people and creating, again, those sustainable pathways towards housing security.
Mm.
One of the themes that really carried over with all of our presenters on the panel was the need for information. Information about housing, accessing information to be able to understand where you can go for help, how you can get help, looking for services and things that you can do independently as well. So I think that information piece was something that really came out. And then what I found really heartwarming, interesting, powerful was the significance of these innovative housing solutions that are coming out from different organisations to tackle the same housing security, housing precarity situations, but from different ends of the life course. So responding to the needs of people and delivering these long-term sustainable housing outcomes.
Mm. It was really interesting having, I guess, representatives from both ends of the spectrum for older women and younger women, but both had gendered experiences of their housing journeys, I thought, which was really interesting. What reflections did you have being the incredible host of the panel?
It was a nerve-wracking experience.
Yeah.
We were on a big stage and we had a large venue. I, as a facilitator, the approach that I took was to really make sure that all voices could be heard and that our panel members had an opportunity to share their stories either as an individual, as a researcher, or as a practitioner. I found it really, I think the room had a very empowered feeling about it when as the session went on. There was a real feeling of hope, I think, in the room, and I feel like the audience left with a real, they were really inspired to go and make a difference.
Yeah, I think it was definitely one of the better panels, and I think one of the reasons for that is, I'm not saying it because I was on there, Shane's giving me a look. No, I think it was because of the lived experience. So why do you think it's important to have people like Wendy, and there was also another participant who ended up not being able to attend on the day, but we really wanted to have that focus. Why do you think it's important at those big conferences like that to have those views?
People with lived experience bring unique insights into any issue, and in this case housing and precarious housing. They have a really nuanced understanding of the issues that, as speaking as a researcher, that I can't see from numbers.
Mm.
So I think what the lived experience does is it brings in that complexity of the issues. And it starts to create a better understanding of what those key issues are. And then that opens up solutions. That opens up opportunities to create solutions and to find solutions. So I think that broadly, policy solutions need to respond to the lived experience rather than just the theoretical perspective.
Mm, yeah, 100%.
So, yeah, that's what I think. If you hear somebody's story in their own words, by having an individual there like Wendy, who was generous and warm and able to share her story, it's so powerful. It allows the an understanding of perhaps not just researchers or people who are working in practice with individuals with these stories all the time, but that broad sharing of the story builds understanding within the community. It builds empathy. And I think it's that can start to elicit real change.
That was Amity James from Curtin University talking about a panel about gender and housing at the National Housing Conference last week. You've been listening to Housing, the Housing for the Aged Action Group show on 3CR 855am, and we are out of time for another week. If you want to get in touch with us, if you're an older person in Victoria with a housing issue and you want to talk about it, get some advice, best number is 1300 765 178. That's 1300 765 178. If you want to get in touch about, you know, things like gender and housing, getting involved in our working groups, that the other side of the organisation, you can call us on 9654 7389. That's 9654 7389. And we have a treat for you as we leave you. Fiona's decided to play one of her favourite songs. Fiona, what are we going to hear?
I have never heard this song before, but this was a CD that was donated to us by one of our members, and it's a Santana CD, and it's called Shaman. And this track is track 2 called Nothing At All. So let's go to that, hey?
See ya.
Bye.
I am a victim of my time, a product of my age. There was no choosing my direction. I was a holy man, but now, with all my trials behind me, I am weak in my conviction. And so I walk to try to get away, knowing that someday I'll finally have to face the fear that will come from knowing that the one thing I had left was you, and now you're gone. Victim of my crimes, a product of my rage. You are a beautiful distraction, yeah. See, I get you locked away outside.